Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
You, we honor you, we magnify your name. Thank you, Lord, for always affording us and allowing us the privilege of fellowship. Thank you even for further extending that privilege to a corporate gathering where your presence graciously floods us, your light illuminates us, and your power evidently is put on the scene for addressing the afflictions of humankind. We bless you even for tonight. We thank you because you are going to be opening our understanding and you'll be energizing us by the anointing of the Spirit to take spiritual responsibilities that is required even for the furtherance of your agenda on the face of the earth, as much as we are allowed to participate in. Take all the glory, take all the honor in Jesus' precious name. Praise the Lord. How are you all doing? Glory, 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 glory to God. It's such a delight to be here again this evening to share. I want to welcome everybody, our leaders that are here this evening, and everyone here for this fellowship. And of course, I want to appreciate all the online audience who are here and following online. We are currently having to meet in a studio and transmit from a studio because of the times that we are in. What God has asked us to do, the strategy He's given to us, is such that most of our engagements are in the evenings and sometimes it moves into the night. And given the times that we are in, it's not wisdom to expose people to, you know, late night movements, since the demographic cut across the old and the young. And so we decided for this period, even for the next 2 weeks, to have our meetings from the studio where we beam to our audience and of course our people who would also be connecting via the platforms. The gospel cannot be tamed. It must be communicated, even as the agenda of God is advanced on the face of the earth. But we believe that in no distant time we'll restore and resume to our normal operations in a more glorious way. So tonight I'll be sharing with us for just 1 hour, and because of the times and because of the operations in our country Nigeria for this period, I'm going to be having periodic broadcast just to acquaint us with the necessary wisdom, strategy, and empowerment to go through this season, even as we trust the Lord for the emancipation that we are about to enjoy as a people in Nigeria. And I want to crave your indulgence, those of us following from different nations, to pray for and with Nigeria and Nigerians at this time. It's a sensitive season. The nation has been plundered. The level of wickedness the level of evil, the level of darkness, decadence, and waste is at an unprecedented high. In fact, we've not had it like this before. And so we are at a brink of a transition, and we trust the Lord that His purposes will find expression even in Nigeria. And so for this week, because of the nature of what's happening in the country, I'm going to be doing a teaching majorly centered on prayer, because of the role prayer plays in the advancement of God's kingdom. And we are going to be having periodic times of prayers, just to bring in our own little quota to what the corporate body of Christ is doing to ensure that the will of God finds expression in our day and time. You know, and I'm going to be sharing even this evening and touching a few things, but because it's going to be more of a series, I wouldn't be delving too deep in order to help carry us through and get everybody up to speed. Praise the name of the Lord. And so tonight I'm going to be starting this series on the doctrine of prayer, and I'll do the introduction today, and then trust God to have four more episodes before the elections. And I believe this teaching will help us to pray more purposefully and to pray more effectively, because it's one thing to pray, but it's another thing to pray effectively. It's not just prayer that produces results, but it's effective prayer that produces results. And so for tonight, which happens to be the introduction to the doctrine of prayer, I'm going to be doing or looking at the purpose of prayer. And I have seven of them here that I'll be touching. The purpose of prayer. And so when you pray, these things will inform why you pray and help to recalibrate your focus in the place of prayer. The Bible said in Isaiah 66 from verse 8, said, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. And so when we pray, prayer is not without a purpose. When we pray, our prayer must produce a result that is beneficial to God's agenda on the face of the earth, a result that is beneficial to us as individuals and citizens of the kingdom, and a result that will leave a legacy and a dynasty for God even on the face of the earth, which becomes the basis, of course, for the worship and memory of God for the preceding generations. And so prayer is not without a purpose. And so we are going to be looking at that this evening, trusting the Lord to give us understanding and also recalibrate us, even as we'll be praying more effectively towards the election and towards a most profitable existence. It's important to note that God has not left us without a witness. Jesus speaking, and He said, there are many things I have to tell you. He said, but you cannot receive it. He said, how be it when the Spirit of truth is come, it will guide you into all realities. And Bible scriptures reveal to us that the Spirit of truth, Jesus calls Him the Comforter. He is our help. He's our advocate. He's our guide. He is everything God has packaged in order to bring us into that place of advantage. And so God wants us to live a life of advantage. He said, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, I ordained you. So we are ordained for a purpose. And for us to live that purposeful life, there are systems of advantage that we must explore in order for that to become a reality. He said, I know the thoughts I think towards you. Jeremiah 29 verse 11. He says, they are thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a hope and a future. And so for us to have that hope and future, we must understand very vividly and very accurately the systems of advantage that the Lord has put in place for us. And so I'm going to be outlining a few of them here for us tonight, and then just to let us know that prayer is one of that system of advantage, even before we begin to exploit. When you begin to study the scripture, you'll find out there are different components of the systems of advantage that we have. We have weapons in the spirit. We have strategies in the spirit. We have structures in the spirit. All of these things are systems of advantage. For example, let me look at a few weapons that we have as believers with which we war. There are about four major weapons we have in order to war in the kingdom. The first is the word. The word of God is not just God's way of communicating to us in order to gain acquaintance into the ways of God. The word of God is a weapon in the spirit. The Bible said that we should take up the word, which is the sword of the Spirit, in Ephesians chapter 6. So the word is a weapon. And so if you understand the word of God, it becomes a system of advantage for you in the Spirit, in the category of weapons. Also, prayer is a weapon in the Spirit. When we pray, we are not just talking to God and hearing God. There is a realm in prayer where prayer becomes a weapon. This is why the Bible said, when you are confronted with a mountain, it didn't say to talk to God. It says to use that weapon. In Mark chapter 11, the Bible said from verse 22, it said, have this kind of faith. It said, if there's a mountain before you, it said, you should address that mountain specifically, and you should tell that mountain to be removed and to be cast hence. And it said, if you do not doubt, you will have what you say. And so your prayer becomes a weapon and therefore is a system of advantage in the Spirit. And then you also see that faith is a system of advantage. It's a weapon in the Spirit. It's the above all, taking up the shield of faith, where which you are able to stand all the wiles and the darts of the enemy. And so a man who does not have faith is exposed and defenseless in the Spirit. And so when you build your faith, it's not just because you are a Christian. When you build your faith, it's not just because faith is part of our Christian life. It's a weapon. You cannot fight except as you are sufficiently vested with faith. And so there are many weapons like this. As you begin to study Scripture, the word of God is there. Your faith is there. Prayer is there. And so when you finish dealing with the weapons you use to fight, because these are the ones you literally use to engage warfare, there are also other strategies, which is also a system of advantage. Because it's not just having a weapon, but there is a how to use that weapon. And so strategies are also a system of advantage in the kingdom. And so you have weapons, and then you have strategies. If you look at the Scriptures and you are a Bible student, you are going to discover there are a few strategies the Lord has put in place for us. Number one is wisdom. Most times, the Holy Ghost comes to give us direction, because this strategic direction the Holy Ghost gives to us makes us invincible. The Bible said, the labor of the foolish wearies every one of them. Why? He said, they know not how to enter the city. And so a man who doesn't know how, even if he has the right weapons, he will still lose. And so in the systems of advantage, you have weapons and then you have strategies. And so every time the Holy Ghost speaks to us, it's not just for intimacy purpose. When the Holy Ghost speaks to us, it's to give us strategic direction that becomes an advantage to us. This is why the Bible says wisdom is a defense. Because it's a strategy of preservation, and it's also a strategy that gives you advantage as you walk through life. When you study the Scripture, another strategy the Lord gives to us is love. These things are not the things the world knows. The world is selfish. The world is wicked. But for we who are in the kingdom, when we use what is available to us, we are not just mirroring the nature of God, but they become strategies and systems of invincibility. And so while the world uses self, uses wickedness to go by, we are mandated, because of the nature of love that we have now, to walk in love in order to live a victorious life. So love is a strategy of advantage. The Bible speaking, it said, do not repay evil for evil. It said, when you show love to your enemies, you heap coals of fire upon them. Now, this is not what the world understands. But for we who are believers, this is how we live our lives. And while we are doing it, to men it is foolishness. But the advantage that we record eventually confounds the wisdom of this world. And so love is a strategy of, and it's also a system of advantage. And then you have prophecy. Most times, when you see that in the world system, people depend on human connection, depend on so many things to go by. But for we Christians, before we step out, we either secure a word from the Lord, or we speak forth that word. So the words we speak becomes the way we follow. These are strategies. The people of the world don't know it. The Bible said they cannot even know it. In 1 Corinthians 2 from verse 14, it said, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit. And it said, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. He cannot receive them because they are foolishness to him. It said he cannot know them because they are spiritually discerned. Now, why am I sharing these things? Because we are going to need these things, especially in this season. If you don't have faith, you have to sit with the word of God to build faith. Because when you are in a situation where natural things can't help you. You will need something quickened in your spirit in order to come out of that situation. If you are going about your daily life, you need to know how to secure it in the place of prayer before going out. You need the word of God as you navigate through life because of the treachery and the wickedness of our world today. And then you also need these strategies in order to go by in life. You need the wisdom of the Holy Spirit, which is deeper than what you read in the book. Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you want to go out, and the Holy Ghost says stop. And the Holy Ghost asks you to stay at home. After 2 hours, it tells you to go. And then you discover there was a riot somewhere. If you left when you wanted to leave, you would have been caught up in that riot. And that can just be the difference between life and death. So we need this kind of wisdom that comes from the speakings of the Holy Spirit. And then we need this kind of, strategies that comes from the place of love. Because you can't walk in bitterness, you can't walk in selfishness in a world and in a time like this. Because if you walk according to the dictates of God, then the provisions of the kingdom are made available to you. And you can't just stand up and start strolling out and say, I want to go to the market. You need to fortify your day with prophecy. As you go to sleep, you need to fortify your night with prophecy. This is the hour we are living in. Because anything can just happen. People die of stray bullets. It was not planned for them. It was not occasion for them. But there is no wall of fortification around them. And so a bullet can just stray. And that bullet finds its way to somebody. What if there was a prophecy that already captured that you will live for 80 years? What if there was a prophecy that you shall not die but live to proclaim the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living? What if there was a prophecy that 1,000 shall fall by your side, 10,000 by your right hand, it shall not come near you with your eyes, you shall see and behold the recompense of the wicked? That prophecy would have re-navigated that bullet. And so one of the strategies we need to subscribe to in this time is a strategy of prophecy. And so when you wake up, you pray until your spirit is charged and a word goes forth. That word becomes your insurance for the season. You can't just afford to step out. People can be shot in the mall. People can be shot in a public space. People can just be going home and they'll be kidnapped. I listened to somebody speaking the other day and he said they were driving home and kidnappers just came to the road randomly. They didn't have any information about them. It was just a periodic attack and they were caught up. And so this is not a time to just live carelessly. And so you need strategies. And one of the strategies you must have is prophecy. And then finally, you need prayer. Because prayer is also a strategy. Prayer is not just a weapon. Prayer is also a strategy. In fact, all of the systems of advantage in this kingdom, when you x-ray them, from weapons to strategies to structure, you will find prayer in all of them. Prayer is the one thing that is inclusive in every dimension of the Christian operation. You can never exonerate, remove prayer from anything that has to do with the kingdom, because this is what vitally fuses you to heaven and gets you to receive feedback from heaven. And so prayer is very important in this season, in that it's a weapon and it's also a strategy. Tonight, I just want to share with us very briefly on the 7 major purposes of prayer, so that as you pray, this thing to become your major emphasis. Are we together? Can you imagine? I wanted mentioning the blood of Jesus as a weapon, but it's fine. I know you know that already. Praise God. That's not my emphasis. I'm just using that as a foundation and as a basis to show us the significance of prayer. Are the people online following? Hope the audio is very clear. We are in the studio, so we will try to manage and curtail intensity until it's time to pray. And then we can pray. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, prayer has definite purposes. And if you pray and you don't realize these purposes, then that prayer exercise is not very profitable. Praise God. And so this evening, because we are going to be looking at the doctrine of prayer and deal with the subject extensively, let me begin by outlining these purposes. So any dimension of prayer we look into, you will trace it back and understand this is why we are looking at those dimensions. Praise God. The first purpose of prayer I'll be outlining to us here is the fact that prayer is designed to exercise our human spirit. Anybody living without exercise will either have morphological or structural deformation, especially as he grows older, or the organs will never function as they are at their optimum level. Exercise is a vital component of human beings and our human engagement. They optimize our organs, they energize our systems, and they bring us to a place of absolute comfort where we enjoy our lives and also live our lives to the full. If you find a man who is not vitally exercising, not too long, he will start having feedbacks from his organs, very vital organs. In fact, biologically speaking, if you don't exercise for a while, you are at the risk of suffering things like high blood pressure and hypertension. Because as fatty acid begins to grow in your bloodstreams, they begin to increase the pressure of blood flow. You are at the risk of having lung infections, heart infections, even your muscles, a lot of things go wrong with it. You know, your brain cannot function at optimal level because oxygen supply to the brain will be limited. In fact, a lot of contradictions can happen. Every man who wants to live in the flesh, optimizing this life, must engage in exercise one way or the other. It can be mild, it can be intense. If you're an athlete, of course, it has to be intense in order to prepare you mentally and physically for that level of rapid engagement. But if you're not an athlete, you may not need that level of intense exercise, but by all means, your body must be exercised in order for your body to function at optimal level. Same applies to our spirits. The reason you find people who cannot pick signals from the realm of God, the reason you find people become victimized, the reason you find people going through life as though God does not exist, is because everything credited into their spirit, they are not utilizing, they are not maximizing. You find a man physically exercising. After a while, there's a change in his muscles. Apart from the fact that his strength level increases, oxygen level, oxygen supply in the body increases, flow of blood increases, even the physical muscles shows that something is happening to this man. Same applies in the spirit. Many Christians are weak because their spirits are not exercised. If your spirit is exercised, the wealth that is in your spirit will begin to find expression in your life, improving the quality of your life. Can I shock you? The greatest wealth on earth is not in the bank. The greatest wealth in the earth is not in the soil. The greatest wealth in the earth is in the human spirit. Paul, speaking in Colossians 1:26, he said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so the Godhead, the totality of the Godhead, is currently living in every one of us. And so the power of God is there, the faith of God is there, the anointing of God is there. Everything of God is already in your spirit. But how much of it you can draw out is a function of how active your spirit man is. In fact, the Bible speaking in Isaiah chapter 12 verse 3, it says, with joy shall ye draw out waters out of the wells of salvation. Jesus speaking in John chapter 7 verse 38 and 39, he said, they that believe, out of their bellies shall flow rivers of living waters. There is too much in our spirits already. See, as we are now, if our spirit is tapped, if our spirit is sufficiently utilized, we will live on earth literally as gods. The reason the quality of our lives keep diminishing and depleting is because we are not maximizing the potential of our spirit. And so when God gave us the instrument of prayer, it was a strategy to exercise our spirit and to bring all of the glories and the wealth that he has planted in our spirit. And so Paul, speaking in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8, hear what Paul said. He said, bodily exercise. Now, he didn't despise or undermine the place of bodily exercise. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 8. Let's read that quickly, since it's a Bible study. Can we have that quickly on the screen? 1 Timothy 4:8. Who is on the screen? You have to be very fast. It said, bodily exercise profited little. This is Paul now trying to give you a comparison between what you can gain from physical exercise vis-a-vis spiritual exercise. Do you know what people gain from physical exercise? Apart from the health benefits, physical exercise also has the potential of changing your fortune. It's exercise that Cristiano Ronaldo is exercising and making millions of dollars every day. And Paul, comparing physical exercise to spiritual exercise, caused all of that little. I've seen men who, because of aggressive exercise, live to very old age and they are still sound.
If you look at Arnold Schwarzenegger today, everywhere gray, but very agile, very solid. Why? Because of physical exercise. There are men who, because of physical exercise, for 40 years, they've not been sick. This is not anointing. This is not somebody laid hands on me. This is not I'm using faith. This is I have trained my body. My body is so strong that diseases are no longer compatible to my body. There are men who have exercised their bodies that, biologically now, when you start exercising, the volume of oxygen pumped from the lungs increases. So your heart rate, your heartbeat does not need to. You don't need to breathe like a sick person. If you breathe 50% of the time, the person who doesn't exercise breathes, the volume of oxygen your body will have will be more than that person. So if I'm exercising and he's not exercising, he may need to breathe 30 times to be able to generate the same oxygen I will produce breathing 15 times. So naturally, I'll be doubly more effective than him because of the oxygen. Your brain functions based on oxygen. If you don't have oxygen in your brain for 15 seconds, I was told you die. That is the level of dependence on the brain of oxygen. So your health, the propensity and the possibility of your health skyrockets on account of exercise. And then there is an economic benefit attached to exercise. You can make millions of dollars exercising. Look at the gymnasts that are doing all forms of gymnastics, making money. Look at the athletes all around the world. In fact, one of the easiest ways of making money now is to be creatively deployed in the corridor of exercise. And Paul is speaking about all of that. He said it profits very little. He said, but godliness, which is spiritual living or spiritual engagement, he said it profits not much. When you are reading the scriptures, get the point. It's not much. Much is included, but it's much more than much. He said, godliness profited unto all things. And so when you begin to exercise your spirit, what it means is that there can be no form of deficiency in your life. And Paul still went further. He said this level of all-round sufficiency is not only in this life. He said it's even in the life that is to come. And so a man through spiritual exercise can be all-sufficient in the physical world and in the eternal world. And so when God gave us prayer, God was giving us a strategy that will make us live and live as effective as God himself. And so every time the spirit is exercised, either through meditation or through fasting or particularly through prayers, he said there is a profit that you walk into that is not only physical but eternal in nature. And this physical and eternal profit, he said, is unto all things. And so a man who exercises his spirit has no form of deficiency if he grows in that exercise. And this is what prayer comes to do for us. In Jude verse 20, he said, dearly beloved, he said, building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the spirit. The word building up yourself there is the word for edifice. And this word is used particularly for, not just for building up, but for charging up. The way you charge your phone battery and it becomes full. Hope you know that your phone may have the capacity of connecting to the internet, downloading beautiful content for you to see. You know your phone has the capacity of communicating to anybody around the world, if there is airtime, of course. Are we together? If the battery of that phone dies, all the functionality dies. If you don't have airtime, you may be limited from making calls. If you don't have data, you may be limited from connecting to the internet. But if you don't have charge, every function dies. This is why a Christian who is not exercised is completely ineffective. Because this kind of exercise is what brings you into all-round sufficiency. You tell them to serve, they can't serve. You tell them God is speaking, they can't hear. Even when God shows up blessing people, they can't receive. Because receiving in the kingdom is not give me. Receiving in the kingdom is to take. So it takes a measure of spiritual energy to even take. That's why most people who are sick, they are sitting, but they can't take the healing. The word is katalambano. If you don't have energy in your spirit, you may not even be able to take, even if it's available. Did you not read the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda? He said for 38 years he was there. When the water is stirred, before he enters, somebody else enters. And so a man is sitting before his blessings, but for 38 years he couldn't enter. Because Even spiritual things require a measure of energy to take. So when you don't exercise your spirit, the blessing will pass, you won't catch it. The goodness of the Lord will pass, you won't catch it. Even when God visits, you may not be able to receive because the spirit is flat. What can you do to a phone that is dead? Calls can't work. Text messages can't work. Connecting to internet can't work. That's how some Christians are. Why? Because the spirit is not charged. They are not building up. They are not building up. So faith is in their spirit, but faith is dead. Wisdom is in their spirit, but wisdom is dead. Even Jesus in their spirit is asleep, because Jesus sleeps in a boat. They don't have enough energy to say, "Master, Master, Master, careth not thou that we perish." This is how significant prayer is. See, when Christians go through things, don't begin by pitying them. Help them to come out of it. Teach them what they need to know. Because pity may just keep somebody crippled for a lifetime. No energy. And so, cycles of ordinations keep passing. They never leap in. What God told them He would do in their lives would have begun at the age of 19. Now they are 45. They've not started because there's no energy in the spirit. And then when they grow old, they start regretting until they die. When God gave us prayer, it's for building up yourself upon your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And can I shock you? The devil doesn't attack everybody. He looks for those who are weak, because he doesn't have enough weapon to waste. That's why the Bible, speaking in Proverbs 24:10, he says, if you faint in the day of trouble, it means your strength is little. If the devil come to you once and again and discovers everything that is meant to destroy you, translate to testimony, and you are showing the world that is weak, he will leave you for a season. Did you not read about Jesus? He said, and Satan left him for a season. Because if I continue hitting on this man, this testimony can encourage 10 other people who had given up. Imagine if the devil gave you cancer. God forbid, you can't have it in the first place. Imagine if cancer shows up and then you aggressively, you scatter that thing and it dematerializes, and then you come and testify. 5 other persons who have already given up on cancer, we know that cancer doesn't kill after all. And so that attack, the devil attacked you, will become liberty for 5 people. And then it doesn't stop there. The devil now came again, tried accident, and then you showed up, you maneuvered, you left, you came and testified. Somebody else who is in an accident scene will now know that there's a possibility of escape. Then the devil came, kidnapped you again, you went there, you came out, you still came and testified. The devil will now know that if he continues to attack you, your testimony will create a pathway for many deliverances. He will leave you for a season. But for you to become invincible like that, your spirit must be charged all the time. And so the reason we pray, one of the many reasons we pray, is to always keep our spirit charged. There are men that their spirits are so charged that any signal that passes, they catch it. There are men whose spirits are so charged that if the devil plays around them, he's in trouble. You find somebody, he's going on the road, and the devil attacks his car to have an accident. And then he said, "Father, because this thing has happened here, nobody will have accident here for 10 years. So it's not everybody the devil tries. The devil strikes somebody with poverty, he breaks out of it. And he said, anybody who is poor that comes across me must be wealthy. And on his account, 2 million people are already wealthy. Because the spirit is charged. If your spirit is not charged, you are defeated. And so prayer is not a religious activity. Is our means of plugging our spiritual battery to power, to charge up, so that we can live life to the optimum. What you are doing now is good, but if God shows you what you should be doing, you may be disappointed. And so for you to function how God expects you to function is from a level of a charged spirit. You may be praying for deaf ears, they are opening, and God is saying now you should be raising the dead. You may be operating at the level of, you have 1 million naira, you have 3 million, you can give 100,000, you can give 500,000. And God is saying, the level where you are now, you should be giving $10,000. You should be giving $100,000. But we are happy that now you have 10 million. So don't be quick to celebrate your success. Praise God for it, but find out where you should be in God's calendar. Did you not read about Joshua? After conquering 31 kings, God said, you have not started though. He said, see the city, the land is vast. I expected you to take the whole city. Meanwhile, at old age, Joshua conquered 31 kingdoms. God wanted him to conquer the whole lands that Israel was supposed to take. If you read the story of Joshua, the exploit was enormous. But God had more for Joshua. And so, if there is an opportunity to charge your spirit, keep charging it. There is just another level you are yet to enter. One thing that inspires me to pray is when I watch those at the gym. You come, they put the weight for you. You struggle barely to lift that weight. And they are telling you are doing well. And then you lift once. You lift twice. They want you to lift 20. They say lift 5. You lift 5. They say one more. Your hands are shaking. They encourage you. You lift it. They keep pushing you until you almost think they are dying. And the point comes. You lift 20. They increase the weight. There is never an optimal level for people who gym. If you conquer one today, they add another one tomorrow. And so their business is just to keep conquering weights. No wonder when they eat. When you find these people eat, you will run. The volume that they consume is a sign of what is happening to their cell system. He leaves 100. They say one more. They keep pushing them. And a point comes, the slim guy who went to the gym, the body becomes thick. After a while, the body begins to enlarge. And your friend that you used to hit on the chest and say, come on, relax, is now coming like this. It's the weight. That's how you pray. Gym your spirit until you can carry burdens for nations. And that's where I'm going to. Because the point will come when if you gym your spirit, God will now begin to depend on you to carry out his assignment. If you gym your spirit to a level, God will depend on you to carry the weight of a family. If you gym your spirit, God will depend on you to carry the weight of a nation. And the point may even come, God will depend on you to carry the weight of a continent. And so what we are doing in the kingdom that we call impact is a function of the weight that our spirit can carry. You know, if we go to the gym today, some of us will be able to carry 10 kg. Another will carry 100 kg. Another may carry 200 kg. Another will carry 5,000 kg. Another will carry 10,000 kg. If you are a person who should carry 10 kg and they give you 1,000 kg, when the iron falls, it will strangle you or it will break your ribs. So God, even if he loves you, cannot give you a responsibility that is bigger than your weight. And so if you want to be relevant in the realm of God, you have to energize your spirit so that you build the capacity not just to take families, but to take systems, to take territories, and to take nations. This is why God uses prayer to train us. And so the first purpose of prayer is to build your spirit, is to exercise your spirit, is to charge your spirit. People pursue positions when their spirit is not charged. If you take a position that your spirit is not charged for, that position will ridicule you because it will show your insufficiency. It will show your weakness. Because when you stand, people have discernment. They will just know that, Kai, this man is not prepared. And it may even truncate the possibility of your journey in life and destiny. Because you will be cut off and you will not be given the opportunity to stand where you should stand again. Every Christian must be committed to daily exercise. Those who exercise, they don't exercise once a week. They exercise every day. Sometimes when I'm driving in the morning and I see the commitment people put in to exercise, I wonder if they will do half for their spirits. Do you know people reshape their body through exercise? Somebody's tummy is becoming large. All he needs to do is to run for 2 hours every morning. And he's running for his tummy. He's doing sit-up for his tummy. And he does that exercise. After a while, his body shape is beautified. Somebody is sick, his organ is failing, and he's doing exercise every morning to restore his organ. So, exercise can beautify you. If you want to modify your body structure, you can actually use exercise to modify. Now, imagine what will happen to your spiritual manifestation if you give yourself to exercise. That means the glory and the beauty a believer commands is a function of the nature of spiritual exercises he engages, which prayer is key. The first purpose of prayer is to exercise your spirit, is to build capacity, is to charge your spirit until you are able to take more responsibility, until you are in spiritual health, and until the beauty of God that is in your life begins to manifest. Everything physical exercise offers, spiritual exercise also offers. That's why Paul made that comparison. But he showed us that the greater benefit is in spiritual exercise. The second purpose of prayer is to give you access to the proceeding word of God. This is where men are stratified. This is where men are categorized. This is where men begin to enjoy ranking and spiritual advantage. See, don't envy anybody and don't pity yourself. Your condition can change if the word can come to you. See, when we are praying, we are waiting for the word. I love the testimony of Brother Chinekwe on Sunday. How that there is a situation and he began to check in the spirit. And the moment the word came, he changed the situation that would have cost somebody his life. Somebody's car was stolen. And while he was talking to him, a word came to his spirit. And he said, I make the atmosphere around you to become darkness. I convert the atmosphere around you to become a wall of darkness. I decree that you take miscalculated steps until you are arrested. And you find out things changing. See, when you begin to see the order and the ranking of men change, it's because of the word that is coming to them. It's not because of where they came from. It's not because of who they know. See, a word can come to you and the president will find you. A word can come to you and money will find you. A word can come to you and a city will open to you. The secret of spiritual ranking and ascension is the quality of word that comes to you. A man can be in captivity until a word comes. He said he was in prison, but the Bible said in Psalm 107 from verse 17, it said until the time that his word came. So if the word does not come, he will remain in prison. You are permitted to remain in your condition until a word comes to you. That poverty will remain there until the word comes. That danger will remain there until the word comes. Joseph was in prison for 14 years. There was nothing that happened. He was living in purity. He had his giftings. He had wisdom, but the word had not come. The Bible said, until the time, verse 19, that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. Instantly, he said, the king sent for to lose him. So your chains will not fall until your word comes. The fetters will remain there until your word comes. He said, the king sent for to lose him and to let him go free. And he didn't just free him, because the word that came was not just freedom. It was exhortation. He said, the king sent for to lose him and he made him ruler of his people. He gave him the right to teach his senators wisdom. How can a prisoner become a teacher of senators? The word has come. If the word does not come, remain in that captivity. If the word did not come, remain in that debt. If the word does not come, remain in that health crisis. If the word does not come, remain in that attack. But if the word comes, the captivity loses authority over you. And so when you find men operating in authority, their word have come. If you jealous them, you can't stop them. Manipulate against them, you can't stop them. Gang up against them, you can't stop them. See, this is why when God lifts a man, nobody can bring him down. Nobody on earth. I make bold to tell you, see, it's God that makes men. He said, let us make man in our own image. He can choose to make a man through another man. He can choose to make a man through an environment. But over and above that environment, it is God that makes men. Follow me. I will make you fishers of men. And one of the ways God makes men is to send his word. The man will come to you after the word has come. The money will come to you after the word has come. Because it's until the time that his word comes. And so when we are praying, we are searching for the words. We know the words are in the spirit, but we have not received them. This is why I tell people, prayer is not about time. There are more. See, how can you be doing an eternal business, calibrating it into time? Time is a body. What you are doing has its root in eternal past into eternal future. There is no amount of time that can envelope it. This is why even God gives us encounters and moments, kairos moments, because he knows that time is not sufficient to envelop spiritual realities. And so in kairos moments, there is a puncture in the spirit that brings that reality into your realm. And one of the things that makes those punctures accessible to your space is when you begin to pray until the time that is what came. This is why Jesus speaking in Matthew chapter 4 verse 4, he said, man, if you are man, I don't know if you are another creature. I'm not talking to angels. I'm not talking to the beast of the field. But if you are man, he said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So if you want to live effectively, you must be receiving word at the same ration that you eat food. If you eat food 3 times a day, then make sure you also receive words 3 times a day. If not, your physical life will be ahead of your spiritual life. And if your spiritual life is not ahead of your spiritual life, you are finished. When you eat and leave eating, you are a dead man. Your spiritual life must be ahead of your physical life. In fact, if you receive physical food 3 times a day, make sure you receive a word at least 4 times a day. But that will not happen until you stay in the atmosphere of prayer. And this is why Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20, he said, knowing this first, no prophecy of the scripture came by any private interpretation. He said, prophecy did not come in old time through human knowledge. He said, holy men of God spake as they were carried by the Spirit of God. And so holy men of God labored to stay in the Spirit for them to be carried to hear those scriptures. These are not product of human intelligence. They are words that came to them. Imagine somebody received the whole book of Matthew. That's a word that came to him. Imagine somebody like Paul. See the volume of words that came to Paul. The whole book of Romans. The whole book of 1 Corinthians. The whole book of 2 Corinthians. The whole book of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus. How do you now wonder the quality of life that Paul lived? See the kind of volumes of words that came to one man. And those are the ones he wrote to those churches. There were many he didn't write. He said, when Timothy is coming, tell him to carry my books and my parchments. Because there are other words that came that is not for the church. Those ones are for me. And one man received so much word that he wrote 14 books out of the 27 books of the Bible. You think that kind of man can be small? No. Too many words come to him for him to remain small. But how did Paul operate there? I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than all of you. This is not a gift. This is a realm. It's a realm of access. And so prayer gives us access. The moment your word comes, you become invincible. Why do we pray? We pray in order to catch our words. Because man shall not live by bread alone. Man shall live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. What is the word of the Lord for you in this season? Around your security, around your prosperity, around your calling. What is that word? It was in the place of prayer. We were praying that period, I think for 90 days. I was not even the one leading the prayer. It was Sister Nessa that was leading the prayer. And suddenly, as we were praying, the word came to me. It said, win 5 million souls. If I didn't have that word, number one, I won't venture into it. If I didn't have that word, number two, the resources won't come. Do you know what it takes to win 5 million souls? Every week we organize crusade, we spend millions. 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 And it's not just the money. There are people on the field who labor night and day. Intercessors are praying. People are mounting sound. They are mounting equipment. Nobody comes one day and complains. They do it with joy. They are happy that they are doing it. Sometimes they do it. We even forget to buy refreshment. They go back home hungry. There's not one complaint any day. They are excited doing it. And then we are doing this thing back to back from the place of rest. Nobody is being called. Please bring money. And then when you show up, you talk. Miracles. We have never attended one that there was no miracle. As you talk, that's how souls are being won. The equipment that power those crusades is not a joke. As we are hiring, we are buying. And we have almost bought all the equipment for the outdoor meeting. So money is coming. Men are walking. The word of the Lord is fresh. Miracles are happening. And the most fascinating part are the partners. In this period of economic meltdown, somebody has not met you before and he loses his peace. Sometimes people are sending money around 2 a.m. in the morning. They wake up from sleep. Carry their phone and do transfer. They can't sleep. The Holy Ghost wakes them up and says, send that money now. And they send the money before they get their peace to sleep. How do you manipulate people to do that? And it's not only in Nigeria. One of our consistent partners is a young lady from Sydney, Australia. She will send the money. She will thank God that she's sending. And she will call you. She will be grateful that you received it. What kind of heart is that? Until the time that his word came. the word of the Lord tried him. See, the quality of your life is engrafted into the words that you catch. Your seasons are in the words that you catch. Your manifestation are in the words that you catch. If God didn't speak, we would have been begging those setting up the equipment every day, and they won't be there. If God didn't speak, and we wanted to do it out of ambition, imagine, we are just 1 year old. We are running projects of weekly projects in millions. Would have been in debt now, would have run out of ministry with embarrassment. But when God speaks, everything falls in place. Is this Ae that comes every week singing and releasing the anointing of God? Nobody gives him a dime. Make no mistakes about it. Everybody's heart is knitted. In fact, the last one humbled me. When we announced the crusade, one of the fathers called me and said, I was checking, looking for Lugbe to get the venue. These are people in their 60s and 70s. When I entered the crusade ground, even daddy with his wife was there. Elderly man, retired naval commodore, Anayo, was there with his wife. Generals in the army come to sit in outreach. And they just listen to the word of God, finish and go home. These are our fathers and grandfathers. But when the word comes, everything aligns. On your job, the word can come. In your family, the word can come. And most importantly, in Nigeria, we need words to come now. That's why we have to keep the radar open. Because if we don't pray, we can't catch it. We can't catch it. The words are like radiation. Your spirit must be activated in order to connect to it. And when it comes, it becomes your reality. Until the time that his word came. A prisoner is not actually a prisoner. Most of the people you call prisoners are prime ministers. The difference is the word. When the word comes, the status of a prisoner can change to a prime minister. What is that word? This is why we pray. See, when we are insisting on prayer, it's not to let people know that we pray. I tell people, forget this cock and bull nonsense. I'm a prayer warrior. I'm intercessor. Relax. Every believer is an intercessor. You have not given yourself to it. That's why. Do you? Is it in this world of terror, of treachery, that you are waiting for somebody to pray for you? Pray for you? If you call yourself that, thank God. But if you don't call yourself that, woe unto you. You are in trouble. Every one of us must have the designation of an intercessor. I tell people, you will be an intercessor before you are a preacher. You will be an intercessor before you are a banker. You will be an intercessor before you are a politician. Else you will be cut off. Nobody will catch the words of your destiny for you. If they hear it, it's a confirmation. How do you build faith and confidence? He said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he said, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who has that level of assurance that God is with him? It's because of what God told him. He said, for thou art with me. So the reason I walk through the valley of the shadow of death is not because I'm smart. It's because I know God has told me that he will be with me. When John showed up, why was he so bold? He was not afraid of the Pharisees. He was not afraid of being cast out of the synagogue. He was not afraid of being killed. Because he heard things. He said, the one that sent me, the same, said unto me. He heard things. This is not zeal. People catch words. And so the second purpose of prayer is to catch words. The Bible says, carry with you words. Carry them. Carry them. When you are going into a nation, carry a word. When you are going into business, carry a word. But those words are not a gift. They are caught. And the way your spirit is activated to catch them is through prayer. Too many are not praying. Do you think God will deliver Nigeria because Christians are many? No, that's not how it works. Turkey used to be 98% Christians. Today it's 98% Muslims. It's not about number. It's about utterances. You catch it, it becomes a memorial. Because God cannot deny his word. He said heaven and earth will pass away. He said not one jot or tittle of my word will pass away. And so when you begin to pray, you are positioning yourself to catch the everlasting word of God. The unfailing and infallible utterances of God. Carry with you words. Hi.
Hi-ya-ho, 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 oh, Adonai, Hi-ya-ho, hi-ya-ho, oh secret place. Hi-ya-ho, 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 oh Adolem, oh Adolem. Hi-ya-ho, hi-ya-ho, oh Adolem. Hi-ya-ho, 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 hi-ya-ho.
We do the things we do. The other time, myself and Pastor Sonny, we were going from Adamawa, in Adamawa to the boundary, somewhere around Mubi. It was like 40 minutes to Cameroon in the night. Sometimes we are in Meduguri. Are you crazy? Even after I got wedded, after marriage, 3 days after wedding, I carried my wife to Meduguri. You don't take that, it will be stupidity. But I heard something. Jesus told me, say, because I live, you will see tomorrow. I have heard something. So I go to places where people fast to go. I stroll there casually. There was a time when I was traveling with Pastor Victor. We were going to Taraba State. Between Zakibian and Wokari, there was crisis between Thief and Joko. Benue Links will stop at the boundary. You wait for a Fulani man who is crossing to carry you. Because you can be cut off. A Fulani man. Because if the Jukun cross here, they kill them. If you are Benue cross there, they kill you. When we were crossing, all the checkpoints were desolate. We saw dead bodies on the ground. But we know we don't die. No, we won't die. Unless we lay our lives down. God has spoken. He said, because I live, you shall live also. I don't need prayer to be safe anymore. Ask them who travel with me. I sleep every time I start traveling. That's one of the ways I rest. They pray, they play, there can be turbulence, nothing happens. I was in Ghana going to preach. I landed that evening. We were on the way to the venue. And a truck hit our car from the side. The car started spinning on the road, went and hit the middle separation, the pavement there. Pop! And crossed it and was stuck there. They were shouting. There was no leap of, hey, no. It is well. Calm down. Open the door. Calm down. Because I live, you shall live also. Now, that is a place where it's a reflex action. It is not you composing yourself. Car is spinning. People are shouting. Stop. Why car is still spinning? Renault Kusi got up. That's my pastor in Ghana. He said, sir, this thing I've seen today, I believe in you. It's not when it stopped. Car was spinning. Hey, calm down. It's well. As he hit the stuff and stop, relax, open the door, we are fine. And we came down, entered another car, went to the meeting, and manifested the power of God. Hi-yo, 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 oh Adolem, hi-yo, 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 oh Adolem, oh Adolem. Hi-yo, hi-yo, oh Adolem. Hi-yo, 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 hi-yo. Somebody else can pray. Father, deliver us from evil. Some of us don't pray that prayer anymore. Because when the word comes, it's an insurance system. When God told me, because I live, you shall live also, He has removed that type of prayer from my syllabus. You can't die. You are kept. It's God's faithfulness and credibility that is my own safety now, because I've heard it. There's no way I can preach it and another person will enter until he catches it by revelation. These are the things we are like archaeologists, we are excavators. When we are praying and pressing in the spirit, it's wars we are looking for. Because we know that our seasons are tied to wars, our manifestations are tied to wars. That's why I tell people, it's not about age, it's not about gender, it's not about race, it's not about where you came from. What wars have you caught? If you catch it, oh dear Lord, it can change everything. When you see men who are like Mount Zion that cannot be moved, it's because they are built on the rock. That's why the Bible speaking, it said, don't build your house upon the quicksand. He said, let your house be built upon the rock. He said, when the wind comes and hits upon it boisterously, he said, that house will stand. Words. The second purpose of prayer is to help you catch words. the proceeding word of God. See, wars are moving in the spirit. Television networks are passing here now. Internet network is passing here. But you need the equipping to trap it. If you trap it, you can watch a video. What I'm sharing now, somebody is watching it in Australia. That means what I'm saying here is traveling as far as Australia. This thing I'm talking here is traveling as far as Australia. But you will need an antenna and a device to trap it. When you start praying, you are awakening the device that traps wars. Wars that come from heaven. And when you catch heavenly wars, you live heavenly life.
Abba. Oh yeah.
I want to stop here. My spirit now is charging. My spirit is charging. My spirit is charging. There were, the other time I was praying. I was praying and light hit me. Light came out of the wall and entered me. And I entered the trance. And I started seeing things. See, people don't know this thing. So sometimes when you talk, they say you are proud. The energy of the word will overtake you. When you start talking, if you have caught a word, if you have caught a word for healing, when you start talking about divine health, that energy will overtake you. If somebody hears you say, "Look, who is this man talking like a god?" He will understand that you are now talking a reality that lives on your inside. It will take over you. And so it's the strength of that utterance that has come to you. The other time I was caught up and I saw there was crisis and people were running. And when they want to go to safety, they will come to me and drop dollars. They will drop pounds. They will drop naira. They were heaping money. And the commanding officer, because when I came into that atmosphere, I stood on something that looked like a mountain. And a club, a weapon, entered my, fastened itself to my hand. I didn't know where it came from. And as I was wondering what was going on, a wind carried me into the battlefield. And I started fighting. And I saw these creatures that looked like crocodile. But they were walking on 2 feet with tails. Their head was like crocodile and they had weapons. And the battle was brutal. And while I was yet fighting, one of the commanding officers came to me and said, "You, go and take people to safety." This is why me, I don't despise fathers. Because I know that they are ranking in the spirit. And I know men walk in cadres, in dispensations. He said, "Go and take people to safety." And as I went, the people were dropping money, dropping pounds, dropping dollars, dropping all kinds of treasures. And I was directing them. And I said, "Take your money." They said, "No, keep it, keep it." Ah, I know when we started ministry, I know we will not need to beg for money. They showed me there. So it's God that goes to touch people to send money. It touches them. One called a winner yesterday and said, "Please, I'm from Sierra Leone. There's this money I want to send, but the bank wants the ministry to just write to identify me. I don't know if I will have the privilege to receive a letter from Apostle to identify me. Just to say they are sending to us and that it's not connected to anything fraud. It's not Kwacha I'm talking about. I'm talking about US dollars. Not Kwacha. I've never spoken to him. I don't know him from anywhere. And even the letter, I'm not writing it. It's somebody, one of the leaders that will write and send. But at the end of the day, dollars will hit the account. For the kingdom, not me. So don't say, "Hey, this man lost money." But, so the work will be going. The work will be going. You won't know how it's happening as the wind bloweth where it listeth. He said, "No man knoweth where it's coming from or where it goeth." He said, "So are they that are born by the Spirit of God." We've caught words. Baraku and Adonai. Hallelujah. 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 Baraku Adonai. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Baraku. When you cut walls, you become invincible. We were created to walk in the stature of the immortals. But we need utterances that come from the realms of the immortals to function like the immortals. That's the code. And it is prayer that positions you to catch those words. The second purpose of prayer is to catch words.
A man's weakness and defeat is tied to the scarcity of utterances coming in his quarters. The third purpose of prayer is for transformation and transfiguration. Our greatest limitation as men is not the devil. Our greatest limitation as men is not the environment we live in. Yes, these things can pose some level of impedance and impediment. But our greatest limitation is the operation of the flesh. You see, for the flesh wrestles against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and the two is one against the other. That is an ancient war. The job of the flesh is to defy the potentials and the possibility of the spirit. And so the reason the spirit can be full of potential, even in the equivalence of the Christ, yet not manifest, is because the flesh will encumber it. It's the job of flesh to diffuse the potential of spirit, or of the spirit. And so when we begin to pray, one thing prayer is engineered to achieve is to decimate the flesh. Is to steal the flesh. This is why when a man begins to pray, he will notice that the flesh will begin to wrestle him. Distractions begin to come. Time suddenly becomes elongated. 5 minutes is like 2 hours. The reason is that prayer attacks the power of flesh. And so that reaction is just like setting fire in the hole where there's a snake. The snake will jump out and try to. That's what flesh is doing. The flesh was masquerading, hiding and oppressing your possibilities. Now that prayer has come, prayer has a way of revealing everywhere flesh has strength. And so when a man begins to pray, he's launching an assault on the flesh. And if he understands the technology going on and it doesn't stop, after a while, flesh will give way. And so when flesh gives way, what happens is that transformation and transfiguration takes place. Because transformation, you know, the flesh is not your body. It's the human nature, the fallen nature. And the fallen nature is weaved into the soul of a man. Are we together? So when you begin to pray, what happens is that transformation, light begins to come to you to renew you. Some of the scriptures you read that didn't make much sense to you, as you start praying, God will take one word or one verse and he begins to open it. So the light component of that scripture is now shed on you. It's that light now that will renew the mind. Many think it's just by reading Bible that the mind is renewed. When you read Bible, you store the word in your soul. It's when you meditate or you pray that the scriptures open. Meditation is to talk what you have read to yourself. You keep talking it. As you are talking it, what is happening is that you are trying to align with frequency. Frequency simulations are taking place until resonance happens. It's just the way Joshua was walking around Jericho until on the seventh day alignment was achieved and they blasted and the wall sank. So when you are meditating and you are talking scriptures to yourself, because the word is Hagar, you are trying to align frequencies. When resonance takes place, that word, the frequency of that word becomes the frequency with which the Holy Ghost spoke it. Then light breaks into your soul. Or when you are in the place of prayer, the Holy Ghost himself will come. That's why I said the Holy Ghost helpeth our infirmities. Romans 8:26. For we know not what to pray for as we ought to. How be it the Spirit helpeth? And what it shows there is that the Spirit begins to reveal to us. Because that kind of help is to bring you access to light, to truth in their authentic state. But if you don't pray, you will have logos in your head that will not translate to anything. Do you know that when you overstock fire with wood, the fire will quench? There must be a balance between wood and fire in order to produce heat to cook. So while you are reading, you must also engage prayer. And so when you begin to engage prayer, prayer has the potential of transformation and transfiguration. In Matthew 17 verse 2 and 3, he said, even Jesus, as he prayed, he said the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment began to glister. This is what Paul was teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 1 and 2. He said, we have a tabernacle that is in heaven. Our glory is like a vest, a garment. He said, it's in heaven. He said, but the way we put it on is to travail. When we start praying, he says something happens to us. That tabernacle begins to clothe us.
And when that tabernacle close you, it kills the potentials of flesh. And so when you find people who don't pray, they can even use the word of God to defraud. They can use the word of God to swindle people. But when you pray, you engage the spirit that brought that word. And when you engage that spirit, the energy that comes from the realm of that spirit will alter you, even your molecular structure. In Isaiah chapter 6 from verse 1, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. He had words. He was speaking words. But for the first time, he encountered the spirit that originated that word. And immediately, nobody spoke to him. He said, I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Woe unto me! And the Bible said, one of the angels that was moving took of the coals that was in the midst of the fire and touched his tongue and said, your iniquity has passed. When men don't pray, there will be wolves in sheep clothing, using the word of God to steal, to cheat, and to manipulate people. They will bend scripture in order to satisfy their ambition and appetite. This is why we have criminals today standing on the altar, wearing ties, no integrity, liars, stealing from innocent and gullible people. You are calling for partnership, but there's no kingdom assignment that you are doing visibly. What is the money for? It's for rich watches, iPhones, and cars. It's for holidays in nations, Bahamas. And the kingdom suffers because there's no prayer. When a man begins to die, prayer will stop. The first sign that a man's spirit is under attack is that he won't pray anymore. And the first sign that a man's spirit is healthy is that prayer will begin. Because one of the things that your spirit loves to do naturally is to pray. You may not have backslidden to the point of sinning. If you are not praying now, you're under attack. That's what I'm saying. Because if you are healthy, you will want to talk to God. You will want to participate there. The word will be bubbling out of your spirit. You want to know how witnesses become lecturers? Having no power, having nothing to show to their generation, is when the altar of prayer dies. They are full of language, but nothing to show. The words can't convict. And the words don't carry the weight of glory to do what the glory was designed to do. And so when men pray, the second thing that happens to them is that transformation will begin to take place. Did you read the Bible? It said when you carry your offering to the altar, and you have, and your brother has an ought against you, it didn't say you have an ought against your brother. It said your brother has an ought against you. It said leave that offering. He said, go and make peace. When you come to the altar, the emphasis is purging. The emphasis is transformation. And the emphasis is transfiguration. You can't pray and pray consistently and not have the Holy Ghost begin to purge you or to refine you. Paul speaking, he said, for this cause I pray. Ephesians chapter 1 from verse 17. That the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So you cannot have the knowledge of him except you pray. Because that kind of knowledge is granted. He may grant unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know. That is the knowledge that liberates. That is the knowledge that changes. That's the knowledge that transfigures and transforms. It comes when men pray. He said, for this cause, I bow down my knees and pray. Even the nature of God that we wear is activated and intensified when we begin to pray. Because in Ephesians chapter 3 from verse 15, Paul spoke about prayer. I pray to the Father and our God and Father of the family in heaven and on earth. Why? That he may open you up to the potentials and the propensities of love, that you may know the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of God. Even that love that passes knowledge. So you can't enter the fullness of the nature and the essence of God except as prayer comes in. Either somebody prays for you or you engage that prayer yourself. In Colossians 4:12, it said, Epaphras is one of you, a born servant of Christ, laboring fervently for you in prayers that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Transfiguration, transformation, perfection in the presence and in the things of the Spirit comes when men begin to pray. And so the third purpose of prayer is transformation and transfiguration. We are out of time.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
Things that are important. The first is to have a PVC so that you can exercise your franchise. If you don't have a PVC now to vote, you are wrong. And then the second is to invest prayer. Because a man will be good until he ascends a throne. Thrones are powers. And as I talk about the next point, you will see it. You will keep praying. This is when they enter covenants. Covenants that mar and maligns the potential of good governance. Because now they are under pressure. Anything you bring, they agree. Because the only thing they are seeing is to have them announced on that day. This is where they enter into dark covenants and deep demonic commitments. This is where compromises take place. Somebody walks up to you and says, I will support you. I will give this kind of money. But I will do what I want. You will give me immunity. These are the times. And so we must invest prayer for the man of God. That he will keep being transformed and transfigured. So that when men come to him, the glory of God upon his life will overshadow them. And they will drop their demonic ambition and submit to the government of that glory. Because a man will either help you through negotiation, or he will help you because favor and glory will compare him. If a man is helping you through negotiation, is interest for interest. But when he's helping you by glory and favor, it becomes God's agenda. And so the reason we must invest prayer now is so that God's candidate, as transfiguration is taking place, when men see him, they will see the glory. You know that when Stephen was transfigured, the Bible said those who looked upon him looked, thought he was an angel. Many people will go to that ballot confused, but as we are sending prayers and transfiguration is taking place, their perspective about him will change. I was telling somebody, I said there are three major people in Nigeria today contending for the position, and if you like you can say four. And the ratio of Christian to the sons of the born woman is 1:3. We don't need campaign. If we are kingdom people, we shouldn't have campaign. There are 6 geopolitical zones in Nigeria. 4 of them are dominated by Christians. Forget the manipulation through census. You talk, they say Kano is populated. Is Kano more populated than Lagos? It's manipulated. See, when there's census, they do all kinds of things. Just to have demographic to oppress people during election. And the reason it looked as if the north is heavy when it comes to election is because those from the southeast and the south decided to pull out of politics because they were marginalized. So when election comes, you see that the results from Enugu, Anambra, Imo is 400,300. They don't go out to vote. But the case is not the same now, because now everybody is coming out. So you will know that all of the talk that Kano, Katsina, Kaduna is a charade. They are not more populated than us. And when you start talking, they say, these are religious bygods. Whereas, what harmonizes the north is religion. It's not politics. It's not money. The reason they can pull out at the 11th hour and quickly agree is because they say it's for Allah. It's for Islam. It's for jihad. Did you not see the fake Sharia law that was propounded and propagated 7-8 years ago? Now, because they came into power, everything about Sharia law, nobody is hearing it again. But when a Christian was in power, they were forcing it. It's Sharia. It's all to distort government. Just to have an advantage. And when you talk from the standpoint of religion, they say you are religious by God. We are not just saying, vote this person because he's a Christian. No. If he doesn't have the credentials, I will not speak for him. But there's nobody on that ballot that is better qualified than him. There's no one. And the one that they are insisting on that is also good or better. Can you handle the problem of Nigeria when you are sleeping in a meeting? a 30 minutes meeting, you have dozed off. Is that the person that can handle Nigeria? Let's not challenge his antecedent. Assume everything they say is true. But he has retired. He should go and sleep. His grandchildren should come and visit him. Let him have rest. Because that's where he is now, in the cater of life. Because we don't need somebody who will be sleeping in Aso Rock and a Kaba will be ruling Nigeria. So we are not saying this just because we are Christian. We are also saying this because of the necessity for national inclusiveness, for equity, for justice. You can't marginalize people consistently. A 7-year to 8-year administration is about to end when no Christian had a say. Even the vice president, who was a Christian, was shot and puppeted throughout the administration. All the relevant offices, 60-70% of the relevant offices are Islamic, and you want to transfer to another Islamic person. Today, Boko Haram comes to knock on people's door and extract them. There is so much audacity around kidnapping, around violence. Because even if you arrest them, there is sentimental attachment. Arrest a Fulani man on the road here, he will call the presidency. If you like, arrest him in Benue. He can call somebody from Aso Rock. And you want that level of audacity to continue being propagated? We are not religious by God. But we are also not naive. So you can't come to national television and talk about equity, justice, patriotism, whereas all your activity is nepotistic, is segregating. All your activity is aggressively against the other religion. And you want people to keep quiet because you want us through naivety to act civil. No. We are wiser than that. We know better. We know better. After all, the person running, the Christian running, is not running with the Christian as a running mate. He's running with a northerner from the north. A Muslim person from the north as a running mate. We are not the one who picked one religion completely for our ticket. So there's a balance of equity.
For the ancients to arise, for the princes to be born, for the kings to ascend. Ali Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali yo, oh, Ali Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali yo.
Now hear this, because prayer engenders transfiguration. Even if it's 30 minutes, release incense, because transfiguration is glory subduing flesh. If you keep releasing prayer, the glory of God on the man will become so high that even his enemies will have no choice but to support him. Because we saw that operation in the life of Solomon, that Solomon had rest and reigned because of that operation of favor, of wisdom, and of glory. Pray for him. That your 5 minutes prayer may be what completes the circuit of intercessors around Nigeria. Because people may have prayed. That 5 minutes the Holy Ghost is telling you to pray would have been a gap in the intercessory chain. And so God used it to fuse it. So there's no prayer that is too small. Raise an incense. Every day, ask that this man, I send glory. You see, Epaphras prayed and the church was perfected. Pray that it will be perfected. He has antecedents. He has credentials. And he represents the interest of the kingdom. And so we fortify him with prayer. We fortify him with favor. We fortify him with glory. We fortify him with power. We fortify him with influence. We fortify him with money. Paul said, if after the manner of flesh, I fought the beast of Ephesus, we contend against the powers of darkness. And we decree that God's man wins. God's man reigns.
Aliyo, aliyo, ali, aliyo. Oh, Ali Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali Ali yo. Oh,
mantles have been given to the church
once again.
Mandates have been given to the church
once again.
Seasons have been given to the church
once again.
Moments have been given to the church
once again.
For the priest to be born, for the princes to arise, for the kings to be run, for the thrones to be given.
Ali Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali yo, Ali Ali yo, oh,
Ali Ali yo,
Ali yo,
Ali, Ali, oh. Oh, oh,
oh. Imagine if 10 million of us are praying and all of us are echoing one man. 10 million. Do you know the weight of that sacrifice? It said the prayers of the saints, Revelation 5:8, are sent to heaven as orders. He said they are stored in golden vials. That's what the 24 elders fetches from in order to carry out throne room legislation. Imagine if 10 million pray, 20 million pray. We will not only vote, we will also pray. Because there is a fortification of glory, wisdom, and favor that comes through prayer. He said when Esther fasted and prayed, the king said, I will give you my kingdom. Esther 5, 2 and 3. Whatever you ask, I will give you, even if it is up to half of the kingdom. Why do you think a president that was nepotistic, a president that was a segregatist person, a president that was sensitive to one religion and one tribe, suddenly woke up and said, election must be free and fair? Because things are already happening in the spirit. He said, I saw what looked like the feast of a man. Elijah said, that is the sign of an abundance of rain. He will not only insist for free and fair election, he will ensure that the writing is done. And the writing will be done when the man of God ascends that throne. It's our time. It's our season. It's not one politician who is coming to take Nigeria as his retirement benefit. My destiny is your retirement benefit. The agenda of God is your retirement benefit. If you give somebody money, go and collect it. Nigeria is not yours. God has an agenda here. Hallelujah. 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 Mandates have been given to the church once again. Mantles have been given to the church once again. Thrones have been given to the church once again. For the kings to be born, for the presidents to arise, for the kingdoms to be delivered, for the nations to be born. Ali, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, Ali, oh, oh. Ali, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, oh, Ali, oh. Ali, Ali, oh. The name of the Lord will not be mocked. No, the name of the Lord will not be mocked. You look at a population of Christians dominating for your political zones, and you are running on a ticket. You pick after a Muslim ruled for 8 years. You pick another Muslim as if that is not enough. You now carry a Muslim as a running mate. Wow! What an audacity. After rubbishing all the politicians in APC, all the Christian politicians put together, rubbish them and told them they were nothing. Major positions in the country, all of them given to them. Even when they came to run primaries, over 30 people applied for the national chairmanship position. They allowed them, they bought form. They didn't stop them. They bought form that went for 100 million. And then at the end of the day, they came and said they appointed, I picked somebody who is still a Muslim. And then that national cabinet, I was told only the assistant secretary is a Christian. And then they conduct election. A Muslim wins. And you pick a Muslim for running mate. What then will be the next dispensation? And then you want us to be naive, to come and say, well, we are so civilized. It's not about what the religion you are into. How many mosques were burnt in the last dispensation? Somebody say, God forbid. The Lord approveth not. The Lord approveth not. We will pray and we will vote. And there will be a change. And the man of God will win. You know, some of us were calm because of order. We wanted the fathers to take their position first. Because every move and every kingdom has structures. So no matter how passionate you are, you don't jump off the talk when the elders have not spoken. But now that the fathers are speaking. Every influence God has given us, we will use it for kingdom purpose. So release prayers. Release prayers. Release prayers. Release prayers. Don't be afraid what will happen. Forget it. Don't be afraid. Nothing will happen. And even if something happens while you are fighting Jesus, it's okay. You know, Christians are not kingdom oriented. Somebody doesn't want to talk in case the ministry is attacked. If the ministry stops, go somewhere else and start another one. It's not a competition. The ministry is not an institution. It's proclaiming the name of Jesus and picking people out of hell and glorifying God. Now that you are not speaking, how many persons are prospered? In the name of Jesus. The third purpose of prayer is for transformation and is for transfiguration. So when you pray, you are transformed, you are transfigured. And when you pray for others, they also transform and transfigured. Epaphras prayed, and it's not one man. He said the whole church stood perfect and complete. Colossians 4:12. If one man can pray, and the church of a whole city can be affected, what will now happen if the whole city pray for one man? Have you thought about it? One man prays, his prayer affected the whole city. Now, what if the whole city is praying for one man? The gate of hell shall not prevail. The fourth purpose of prayer is legislation and litigation. This is where I was coming. Let me show you something. You know, when we are talking these things, people who don't have understanding, they say, all these Christians, they are talking prayer. They are talking this. They say, go and vote. Go and do this. See, it's prayer that starts the matter. If you don't win in the spirit, you will lose in the natural. Let me show you a few scriptures. Acts chapter 8 verse 9. See the way darkness rules light, rules a territory if light doesn't come. The Bible spoke about one sorcerer. It said, but there was a certain man called Simeon, which before time in the same city used sorcery. This is one man. And bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out himself as one great person. One man used sorcery, bewitched a whole city, and everybody saw him as the Messiah of that city. Why do you think some Christians are fighting for something that is obviously against God's program? You see a Christian sit down arguing with you why it is just, why it is right, why it is fair for somebody who is obviously in the last dispensation. Was that not how they came with manifestos? Told us this particular person stands against corruption. He will change Nigeria. He's the Messiah. And millions of Christians, and I mean millions, fought some. Somebody was even stabbed fighting for this current leader. He's the hope of Nigeria. We have seen that hope after 7 years. Carry broom, change. We will sweep everything. We have seen how very clean they can sweep. Sweep righteousness into corruption. And sweep the innocent into death and pain. It's called sorcery. You don't pray. You think people are functioning by their senses. They are analyzing facts. And they don't know that their mind is already thwarted to see that fact the way they should see it. Or the way they were programmed to see it. If you don't pray, imagine. We are not talking sentimental or segregate kind of government or politics or demography, democracy. But imagine the Igbos who for the last over 35 years have been marginalized. For the first time, God raised a David from among them. And this person was not raised on the strength of Undibo. This person was not raised on the strength of sentiment for East. In fact, the weight of support
from the north and the south overwhelms the support in the east. The handwriting on the wall is clear that God is doing something. Then you find the Igbos stood up amongst the Igbos to raise a contention against what God is doing. How do you explain that? People are manipulated. Sorcerers have spoken. Curses and spells have been released. And these curses and spells target most people who are in authority. The Bible said Satan moved David to number Israel, which was against God's law. So when you find people who you think should be first-class citizens talking like illiterates, uninformed, either because of bitterness, insecurity, or wickedness of heart, you will know that this thing is more spiritual than is natural. How can a man who is a first-class student reason, not able to reason, what a boy of 10 years is able to reason? You think it's normal? And if prayers are not made, you will be shocked the level of manipulation that will happen at the 11th hour, especially from the eastern quarters. One person just comes and start trying to create what does not exist. And then you'll find crowd following. We said it. They think they are being reasonable. One man can manipulate the whole city. One man. I asked the question. I say, if truly we are Christians, why do we need campaign when one Christian is standing against three Muslims? Assume the lie that they told, that they are more populated, is true. If assume it, but they are already divided. Three from one side. How are they supposed to be a match if sorcery has not manipulated people? And you come, you say, it's not about prayer. Carry PVC. Which PVC? The PVC is useless until the mind is sane, until the mind is corrected. This is why litigation and legislation is important. And this is one of the major purposes of prayer. If you study Isaiah 59, the only place, verse 19, where the word intercessor was used in the Bible, you will find out that a nation will fall into anarchy and chaos if there's no intercessor. If there must be deliverance, God will have to engender deliverance for himself. If not, the city will be lost. People will not be able to move on the highway because of evil. All kinds of moral breakdown, breakdown of law and order, all kinds of wickedness will be in place, because the salt of the earth is not just a believer, it's a believer who prays. When the Bible calls us the salt of the earth, he expected that we should pray, because Jesus already said men should pray without ceasing. So if a believer is not praying, he can't be a salt of the earth. And so one thing prayer was designed to do is to bring legislation and litigation. What is legislation? And what is litigation? Barrister, help us. The last time I read it, legislation is the act of writing and propagating laws. When you are praying, in the spirit, you are coding, propagating, and enforcing laws. The words you speak in prayer, they are not information. They are laws you are writing into the spiritual atmosphere and into the context. And litigation is the act of legally insisting that the provision of the law is kept. And so when a man is praying, he writes a law and then he forces that law to be obeyed. That's what prayer does. It's a legal thing, highly judicial in the spirit. This is not a religious engagement. That's why you have to be careful to pray. Pray in your understanding and use the right words. And I'm going to be teaching you about the types of prayer and the laws of prayer, so you will know how to pray. There's a prayer of petition. There's a prayer of intercession. There's a prayer of agreement. All of these prayers are necessary in situations like this. Intercession, petition, and agreement. And if you don't know how it works, we may not have results. That's why this series will be done in this period. Because we are at the 11th hour, and at the 11th hour, there is greater need for intensification. Prayer,
legislation and litigation. If it doesn't happen, a city can be overrun. Let me show you another scripture. Acts 13 verse 7. Paul went to a city to preach, and there was a sorcerer who blindfolded the governor and made him to reject what was of God. See, when people can't see what God is saying and they are even offended, don't be angry with them. They are blind. 2 Corinthians 4 to say, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. With all the marginalization that we have seen in the last 8 years, a Christian still stands up and is telling you, don't be religious by God, don't this, don't that. Maybe because they've not kidnapped his or her relative, or they've not burnt a church where his mother attended. So he thinks it's news. It's national news. There are people that the whole family were burnt, exploded, butchered, just because they went to pray. There are states in this country today that you dare not start a business. Either you relocate or you live in fear. There are states in this country, you can't even go to school. You say you are a Christian. If they see that you are fire, you don't need to do anything. They come and accuse you that you tore the Quran. Or they accuse you that you insulted Muhammad. And before you know, they stole you to death. Nothing happens. Nobody is arrested or persecuted. Since we started hearing about Boko Haram, you will hardly hear that publicly anybody has been persecuted. You are a barrister. Is there a record that Boko Haram people, have they not captured Boko Haram before? They've captured several. How many have they prosecuted publicly? That is on record. You arrest somebody in Benue, they say bring him to Abuja. And the case, you don't hear anything again. And then you hear that a prison break happened. And so many of high profile terrorists who have been put in prison, those are the ones arrested who cannot be let go, have been in prison for more than 6 years. What are they doing there? Some of them, their cases have not even been decided. And then you wake up, you say, nobody's against those on the side of Islam, or those who are traditionalists, or those who are giving to sorcery. Nobody's against anybody. But we insist that there must be equity. We insist that there must be balance. Nigeria does not belong to one religion. Because if Christians rule today, and only Christians keep ruling, a time will come when Christians may, because there are those who are zealous, who have not learned Christ, may begin to oppress Muslims. We are not advocating for that either. And if Muslims rule, and there is no balance for a Christian to rule, then those who are also bigots of the Islamic order, or who are passionate about their own understanding of Islam, can take powers to their hands and begin to oppress Christians because of the religious sentiment that exists between leaders and followers of the same clan. And so we insist that there must be equity, there must be justice. We insist that nepotism must not have a place, and we insist for natural justice. Is it only Muslims that are educated? In the last dispensation, you say you are looking for qualified people, and more than 60% are Muslims. Wow. All of a sudden. And we have not seen too many Muslims on the list of inventors. How many of them are inventors? How many of them are on the list of inventors from tiny memoria? All of a sudden, they are the most educated people, and we don't have educated people from different parts of Nigeria again. The other day, Dr. Paul was listing the portfolios, major portfolios. I almost wept. And so, because we cannot carry guns, bows, and arrows, we will carry the words of God in the place of prayer. Because when we pray, we change things. He said, my people who are called by my name, we humble themselves and pray. He said, I will hear them from heaven and I will heal their land. Sometimes, for God to heal the land, the scepter will change hands. When we pray, that's where we fight. When we pray, kings can be dethroned. In Daniel chapter 10, verse 13, 20 and 20 and 21, we saw Daniel as one man, prayed, and two archangels were mobilized. And a kingdom, power, changed hand because one man prayed. See, the Bible said in Romans 15, verse 4, it said the things that were written aforetime, they were written for our learning, so that we through patience and comfort of the scripture might have hope. If one man prayed and a kingdom, power, changed hands in the kingdom, what will happen if 10 million people pray? These are the questions I keep asking. Daniel, one man, and he prayed for just 21 days. and they shook powers in Babylon. What will now happen if 10 million of us are praying? We don't know the potentials of prayer. We have reduced prayer to God. I'm hungry. God, give me housework. That is good, but that's kindergarten. When you grow, you know all things are yours. You begin to pray for higher matters. And one of the higher matters of the kingdom is legislation and litigation. And so the Bible speaking in Mark 11:24, it said the way you deal with a mountain is to pray and not to doubt. And it said whatever mountain it is, be it a mountain of government, be it a mountain of media, he said, when you pray, believe that you have it and you shall have it. So prayer is the weapon that changes things. He said, when you pray, believe. So the way to legislate and litigate is to pray. And when you pray, believe that you have it. And he said, you shall have what you say. So in this season, we are going to pray. And we'll pray and monitor the election from the altar until that which God spoke through his prophets, and until that which is just finds expression. Prayer is for litigation. Prayer is for legislation. I'll list the last three, since we don't have time anymore, so that we can study on it. The fifth purpose of prayer is to win trust through consistency. When a man begins to pray and pray consistently, on the strength of his consistency in prayer, God begins to commit things to him. Jesus, in Mark 1:35, the Bible said, early in the morning, on a daily basis, he went to pray. It was that same enterprise he carried out on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he said he returned in the power of the Spirit. If you don't pray, God can't entrust things to you. In Daniel 6, verse 10 to 12, we saw that Daniel prayed three times every day. And a point came, God entrusted him with influence. We need to be entrusted with spiritual realities, spiritual assets, spiritual facilities for us to be able to advance God's kingdom. And so when a man begins to pray, it may not happen overnight, but eventually you will notice that certain spiritual things will begin to be plugged into you. They are called trust. They are not a gift. Sometimes it's authority in business, in the economic world. Sometimes it's authority in government. Sometimes it's authority in the academia. God begins to trust you with things. Favor, wisdom, all kinds of things begin to be trusted to you. So prayer is a means of winning trust from the realm of God through consistency. Number six, prayer is the most assured pathway to intimacy. Because when you are praying, when you are reading, you can read about God and not engage God. But it's impossible to really pray and not engage God. When you are praying, you are not doing something about God. You are talking to God directly. So prayer is a spiritual infrastructure for building intimacy. When men pray, they know God. And finally, prayer gives you right to begin to participate in the immortal realms and in the ages to come. We saw in Matthew 17 verse 2, as Jesus was praying, he said Moses and Elijah stood with him. So the realms immortal are awakened, and we are summoned to participate in it when we begin to pray. In Revelations 1:10 and Revelations 4:1, John said I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. That is prayer. And in Revelations 4:1, we saw that a door opened in heaven, and they said to him, come up hither. That was when he started seeing the throne room. So when men pray, God begins to allow them to participate in the ages to come. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22 to 24, we know that it's already our right, but it will take prayer for us to enter. He said, you have come to Mount Zion. Hebrews 12, 22 to 24. He said, but ye have come to Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. In verse 23, he said, to the general assembly of the church of the firstborn, which is written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirit of just men made perfect. Go ahead. Verse 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling, that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. You have come there. But for it to become a reality to you, prayer must awaken your senses to it, or awaken that realm to you. And so when we pray, we begin to participate. Paul was the one speaking. He said, I know a man many years ago. 2 Corinthians 12 verse 2. Whether he was in the flesh or in the spirit, I can't tell. But he said, that man was carried to the third heavens. John was the one who was carried to the heavens. And so these things are not new. This is our heritage in Christ. But it will take prayer for us to access it. And so seven purposes of prayer. Number one is to exercise your spirit. Number two is to access the proceeding word of God. Number three is to engage transformation and transfiguration. Number four is to provoke legislation and litigation. Number five is to win trust through consistency. Number six is to build intimacy with God. And number seven is to give you the right and privilege to participate in the realms to come. Can we bow our heads and talk to the Lord now? Even as you go to release incense concerning Nigeria and concerning the forthcoming election, can we bow our heads and talk to God? Cause these words to become a reality. Sibakato baraka. Zeligabara sudra frashekivra natalish. Zirakuba aktevila baragato. Zedegila barakai. Zazina paradini garagato. Zelemano bragida asta brigda orokodia taragadina sasta. Rapakate kabaya. Jiba kabator. Ragabani baragida sonda. Zedegadina taladish. Onte kiba ragabida paras. Zadadadina zanzavrota. Ah!
For the kings to be born, for the ancients to arise.
Ah! Eligamana sadiga pai.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh,
Rabiga pate prondo suza. Aragatini zanzavragatila paradosta. Reke paraguza. Zadiga pa. Manteke baro sadiga pai. Manteke barada gazia. Rakapadosa de la gabira ta. Jeteke pado. Rakiba paragadoska. Rakapande suza ada paradia. Rato. Shaka patekaya. Haya. Zelekiba. Rakipano. Zatapro sabratia. Zadegadida salagata. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus. There are five prayer points. We'll pray now quickly as we close. Number one, let's pray that God will decorate his man with glory, with favor, with wisdom. See, he will not say the wrong thing. Sometimes you say the wrong thing. You may be the right man, but you may say the wrong thing and it will bring reproach. Let God give him wisdom to say the right words in season. He said, how forceful are right words in seasons? Let's pray that God will give him favor and God will decorate him with glory. Go ahead and make those declarations now. Manta kibarate. Zegebaro sabatatila. Rabashabadina sadaga. Yedegebara sadida barosta. Manta kibora. Rakabadia. Jadagabando zodokori. Rakaba. Zadegabadia. Manta kiba. Ragoba. Shabdaborina talabate. Intakibara dagazia ragababakonde hoyas ela tomaladia sada rakiba dozo baradina ragido bondo robobokoria itakabashatina badaga ragabondo robobokori rakiba mantakibara donsa dragavi ragabadagabonda rekida sa. Oh God, he's clothed with glory, he's clothed with favor, he's increasing in wisdom. Mantakiba regedodo shabada. Lord, you gave Solomon so much wisdom that all his enemies were stilled. We decree that the enemy of the move of God, they are stilled, they are shut down in the name of the Lord Jesus. Manto barakida ragabando zotoporodia sadagabia mantekiba. Your servant will not speak the wrong words. He's clothed with favor, he's clothed with glory. Marekira pa jede arobo sadegania marota parieta isuza baragodo aswata eswate ino parika asuso sozina arakabo sadagabia rakabonda sadaga helia somana raboma shabdege eluga bariga parado monto kabaradia regebo manteke bariato jagadagadia ta. Oh rabasabda haliga in the name of Jesus. My God, let's go ahead and pray for God's servant. Let's decree that God will cause his influence to explode. The Bible said Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit and his fame went abroad. This is influence, because it was not just about popularity. The moment Jesus entered the temple from that mountain, he said demons began to scream. The moment Jesus began to move, the sick started coming. Multitudes started coming. So it was not just about popularity. The cities were drawn to him. So this fame
was also a kind of the Anakazo power that drew territories, drew cities to him. Can we pray that God will put same grace upon his servant? They think he's just popular online. Can they be surprised that people will travel from one part of the country to another? People will travel from nations to this country, and they will vote, and their votes will count. That the influence upon this man, every procrastination, every election lethargy that stops men from stepping out to exercise their franchise on the strength of the trumpet and the shofar that will be blown in the spirit, that God will cause men to rise up to vote. Even those who say, I have no business with an election and politics anymore, there will be a stirring in their spirit that Laura Edes, Luca Paraki, Azuzagaria Paragatakabas, Ayendo Romatakali, Ruakatoa, Ezuate, Ruatata, Azuzula, Aribo Bokakaviatoa, Amaloa, Ruede, Ezuatoa, Swa, Arobos, Aodea, Beratoa, Idikamadakas, Azuate, Pondro Bakaka. Katu Azude Asua Rados Nadia Balagasakabadoa Euna Zaido Neroa Tekapina Raboa Stau Feyadero Alopo Rotokopakata Jesus Zanitaka. Lord, the fame of your servant is spread abroad. And Lord, everybody that hears about him, there is a compelling force in their spirit, and they are rising up, not just to talk about him, they are participating. They are exercising their franchise by the Spirit of God. Avero Sanada, Ila Bunatani, Abregedusa Cabreta Gadia, Andozoto Barakadi, Anziga Pate, Esosazina, Maruate Cababacao, Ajoa Te Tatua, Azuneke Kakatua, Abunde Nekatua, Arregos, Next, Everyaka, Azuzaka, Pate Capatu, Mandini Sanzo, and the La Placa Dieta, Azoso Zavadieta, Acero Raka. Imo Bracadina, Jesus Abregedida, Aparado Salamande. Ah, my God, Elo Remete, everybody's talking about him. The momentum is building. We refuse that the momentum dies. We refuse that the momentum dies. People are planning to travel. People are bold. They are emboldened to go exercise their franchise. Oh, Mareke, every vote that should be cast to cause that this rising is consolidated on the throne of the presidency. Lord, we call those votes. We call those who will cast them. We oh my God, their steps are ordered. Hello. In the name of Jesus. Things change on the prayer altar. The people in darkness know. You are the one who thinks they are just going from country, from state to state. If you know the rituals that are taking place now, virgins that are being buried, animals that are being slaughtered, you will be shocked. If you know the forest that they are entering, don't be naive. People allow Western civilization to make them become spiritual illiterates. Meanwhile, even the West was raised by priests. Those nations were born by priests. You become so intelligent and you become a spiritual illiterate. Let us pray now. Every force, every power, every influence that has been released into the atmosphere, either to create fear in the hearts of men. Hear this. Many will want to vote, but they will be afraid to go out because of the manipulation in the atmosphere. Many will want to vote, but there will be unnecessary procrastination. They want to stand up, but they won't stand up until the election time passes. There are manipulations in the atmosphere. Can we arrest those forces? Every negative spirit talking, every demon walking, every prince uttering his oracles, we call them null and void. We cancel the influence, the negative influence in the atmosphere. All the participants, all the electorates, they are excited, they are bold, they are energized, and they participate, they exercise their franchise
in the name of the Lord Jesus. Ameradua mebula kaide evurana kamanda zuzuna kaya ibala ruanda dege azibro no shadi nakaba ubula nmataka azwate apande baria novala kadua entekira. Oh Lord, we arrest the atmosphere, we diffuse the atmosphere, we deplete the atmosphere of all the demonic weights, of all the demonic manipulations. Father, we decree that your presence, your light, your glory permeates the heavens in the name of the Lord Jesus. We come against every springs that has been mobilized in the second heavens to manipulate elections in Nigeria, to create violence, to create fear. Lord, we break their influence by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let the princes of the heavens arise now and let the battles of the heavens begin. And Lord, let verdict be passed in the favor of the righteous. Let the jealousy of God be released for his own and for his agenda. Oh God, the prophecies, the utterances, the covenants, the intercessions of the saints, let it tilt the balances in the spirit. Abrano Shadakia, Eladua Benakalo, Arua Venakaria Mandala Gaba, Araki Badanzo Zorono, Aseke Pate, Aswati Nakabarakanoska, Atai, Ruate, Abu, Eladua Nuaka, Uruataka, Susakina Paragadia, Azeke Patokobo, Orododo, Arua. Ancient covenants, we align with ancient prophecies. Oh God, this season is our order to the favor of the church by the Spirit of the Lord. Emarano Pandegato Avulukala Sunataya. Baroka Tenas. Boldness is welling up in the spirits of men. Maraka Etepenale Avivavaya Arume Kado Sataka. Thank you, Father. In the name of Jesus, hear this. Things are happening. Don't just read what is on the news. Read the handwriting of the Spirit. Our hope is not in what the news says, it's the signs of the Spirit. He said, we see not our signs. When a nation can't see their signs, their heritage is darkened. But we see the signs. Are you not surprised? See, things are changing. Their programs are being altered. And that's the fourth prayer we'll pray. That let there be miscalculation in the camp of the enemy. The Bible said a house divided against itself cannot stand. Let us ask that arsenal, strategies, and spiritual protocols, that scatter systems, be released into their camp. Are you not seeing? Even some of the governors that were not bold to speak before, they've started talking. See, we are at the 11th hour. The darkest part of the night is before the twilight. That is the hour we are approaching. And so let us decree. He said, even the counsel of Ahithophel was turned to foolishness. Let men begin to receive anger, bitterness. Let men become dissatisfied. Let men suddenly be awoken to the manipulation. And let there be confusion in the camps of the enemy. Let there be confusion in the camps of all these political parties that have nothing to give to Nigeria, but they just want to loot the money and defraud and destroy and impoverish this country. Men that have only appetite and ambition, selfish, and they don't care what happens to the poor masses. They don't care what happens to the agenda of God. Let us decree that there is crisis among them. There's confusion in their midst. There's miscalculation in their plan. And let the intensity of this mayhem, the intensity of this confusion, the intensity of this chaos, let it come public and create a negative PR, a negative propaganda, a propaganda that pulls them down until everything goes wrong. Let everything that can go wrong, let it go wrong in their camp. But the Spirit of God, Eriatos, Aruko Plaka, Ebuna Kai, Suzak, Atunani, Baraku, the Katinish, Arobolus, Alele, Ayo, Orua, Kados, Ekwate, Sado, of them are planning to buy boats. They will go there and they will say the wrong thing. And the people will collect their money and still not vote them. Some of them are planning violence. At the end of the day, the people who are going to orchestrate violence, they will have accidents and die. Because it will not work. It will not work. We alter their plan. We intercept their program. And we change it. And we ask that indignation is turned against them by the Spirit of God. Hello, Bradua, Asodo Kaskadi, Avaradi Gabanota, Abdullah Tabak. Lord, we lift our rod of priesthood. We activate our shofar and we prophesy victory to the church. And we decree that the enemy will fall like a pack of cards by the Spirit of the Lord. For the horse is ready for the day of battle, but victory is the Lord's. My God, Endalo Marano Makanda, and Zezadika Madakaruata, Abelola Marariato, Azuata, Shara. Who is it that seeth a thing? And it cometh to pass when the Lord has not commanded it. Lord, we decree that their arrogance we meet with shame. We decree that their evil plans backfire against them. And Lord, we decree that even in this season, they are judged. For they receive a just recompense for their wickedness of many decades. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, their appetites of evil, their appetites of pleasure, Lord, we diffuse it. And we ask that you give them a dry breast. In the name of Jesus, there's disappointment in their camp. There's discontent and contention in their camp. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and the confusion grows. We give life to the confusion. We give life to the chaos. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. When we pray this week, we have been praying, but this week, we will intercept programs in the heavens. Where we intercept protocols, where we change possibilities in the heavens. See, some of them traveled around this nation and released curses. They released enchantment. That's why there is confusion. That's why there is fear. But at the 11th hour, suddenly, things will change. Because our God is a God of suddenly. He said, in a twinkle of an eye, we shall be changed. Because suddenly, the Son of Man will descend with the voice of the archangel. Suddenly. He says, suddenly they heard a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. There will be suddenly that will scatter their camp. Things will go wrong for them this week. They will keep money to use to buy election. From among their camp, it will be stolen. And the ones that make it to the election ground, men will collect it and will not vote them. They will mobilize dogs to go and kill people. As they are driving, they will have accidents and die. Because everything they have planned is cancelled in the name of Jesus. And as God is wreaking havoc on them, the camp of God will be growing. Did you not read in Egypt? While there was plague in Egypt, Goshen was flourishing. Goshen was flourishing. Because this time around, the divide between light and darkness will be made known. It will become clear. It will become clear. And finally, let's pray for Nigeria. This nation will not fall. This nation will not disintegrate. They have envisaged a bloodbath. They have envisaged terror. They have even planned negative things, reruns, by election, military takeover, all forms of chaos. We cancel it in the name of Jesus. This nation will not burn. This nation will not be overrun with blood. The program, the plans of the enemy will not stand. Pray for peace over Nigeria. That Nigeria will rise like a flower blossoming. That the corruption and the negative PR over this nation will suddenly change and will be known as the citadel of righteousness. Go ahead and pray. Nigeria will not fail. There are too many prophecies. There are too many covenants. God has an agenda with this country. We bear on our shoulder the caravan of the gospel of the kingdom for the last day. The nation must stand. And so we are working altars. We strengthen priests. We strengthen prophecies. We are working covenants. Ancient covenants of the fathers. And we ask that the Lord remembers Nigeria for good. And let the fortunes of God, the heritage of God, over this nation, let it blossom like the cedars of Lebanon. Let the glory of the Lord flourish and flow over this nation like the waters of Euphrates. We decree prosperity and abundance. Nigeria is great. The Lord ordered it, and so shall it be. We speak peace and progress. Aya, Ekenalo, Barakani, Dalava, Janaki, Paro, Evagarina, Kalata, Averanda, Zuna, Kaila, Aya, Karabina, Sonza, Karabati, Aya, Family of Yahweh, I have entered. Oh, the covenant of Yahweh. Ah, standing on the altar of Jerusalem. Through Yeshua, who is the word of God. Through my Jesus, through his blood, I belong to the family of Yahweh. I am standing on the covenant of Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem. So Yeshua, who is the word of God, through my Jesus, through his blood, I belong. To the family of Yahweh. Ah, I am standing on the covenant of Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem. Through Yeshua, who is the word of God. Through my Jesus, through his blood, I belong to the family of Yahweh. I belong to the altar of the Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem. Through Yeshua, through is the word of God, through my Jesus, through his blood, I belong to the family of Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of the Yahweh. I am standing on the altar of Jerusalem. Through Yeshua,
this, we decree that no one will be a victim on account of this election. No believer standing on the side of God will be endangered or will be cut off on account of this election. We decree preservation and protection for every child of God, from those who will travel, from those who are going out to vote and even vote in volatile regions, in the north, in the east, in the west, in the south. We decree that they are preserved. Father, we stand against corruption. We stand against manipulation of electoral results or elections results. Everything they try to do, Lord, you will reveal it, and they will be disgraced until that which is just is done. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we rise up as a body and we speak from the priesthood of Christ, even the very priesthood of the order of Melchizedek that has no beginning and no end. And we say, on the strength of the powers of that priesthood, in the name of Jesus, the blood and the spirit, let your will be done over Nigeria. And at the end of the day, when all is said and done, Father, let there be peace, let there be prosperity, and let your name be glorified. In Jesus' precious name. Praise God. You want to give God a big hand? We have created change in the spirit.
This is what prayer is about. And as we engage this, our rank and our ranking in the spirit will keep growing. For God to trust us, both as individuals and as a ministry, with greater responsibilities. I pray for everyone participating in this service on ground and online. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. Lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. Your going out and coming in is blessed. And even as Nigeria transits to another phase, you will be a stakeholder. You will be blessed. You will be lifted. In Jesus' name. We are going to have two or three of these broadcasts before the elections, because I want to teach on the laws of prayer so that we apply these things correctly. There are some that you engage as an individual, and there are some you engage in partnership and in groups. So you need to know the laws and the precedences that makes this order and these programs effectual. No matter how busy we are, at least we will address prayer of petition, prayer of intercession, which is what you can do as an individual, and then we also deal with prayer of agreements. And then if we have time, we can also go further to teach us how to pray from the courtroom, from the throne room, executive prayers. Because we need all the arsenals in this season. The greatest momentum is at the 11th hour. We will not faint and will not be depleted. Thank you for joining the service on ground and online. If you have not cast your offering, go ahead and do that. The Bible says to cast your bread upon the waters, and they say you will receive it after many days. I got to realize that the Lord is troubling many persons to give sacrificially in this season. I didn't even really teach about it when I mentioned it, but a lot of persons have been asking on how to give sacrificially. Just in case that is the burden in your heart, if you're on ground, you can contact our pastors, any of them on ground. They will help you to facilitate it. And if you are watching from around the world and you want to be part of it, the account numbers are displayed. Whatever God asks you to give, because you can't send it from your nation, you can convert it to cash and send it in. Now, all the monies you are giving, we are not using any of them for core ministry projects. We are channeling all to missions, so that it's used for God's agenda, particularly for soul winning. Particularly, it's not even entering the building project. We channel all of it for missions, so that on account of that sacrifice, a soul is born into the kingdom. When Isaac was given, Jesus was given. So God used that channel through Abraham to bear the order of salvation. So we want that to be used for soul winning. And so you are welcome to participate. Account numbers are online. If the Lord is telling you to do that, do it. But if you don't have a leading, it's still fine. You have many other opportunities to do so. I've taught you again and again that giving should be done from three precedences. Number one is out of the leading of the Spirit or a burden. Number two is out of revelation, accurate revelation of scriptures. If you don't have revelation, please don't give. Because some people give and uproot it, and they don't have results, and it becomes the reason why they backslide. So out of revelation. And number three is out of maturity. And maturity is when you come to that point where you see God's kingdom as your Father's agenda. And even without God speaking to you, you don't want to see God's agenda not flourishing. And so if you fall into any of these categories, the Lord bless you. And I want to particularly thank the partners who consistently and unwavering, untiring, have been vitally connected in their givings and in their prayers to see that what we do here is effectual and productive. You will not lose your reward. And the Lord will not only bless you with resources, but even what money cannot buy, God will give you. And if what we are doing here is genuine, you will see instant manifestation of the hand of God even as you engage in these things. We have lots of testimonies to this effect, and I know it will be from glory to glory. For everyone who gives for God's kingdom, which is eternal and immortal, your life also becomes eternal and immortal. When the perfume, the alabaster box, was broken at Jesus' feet, He said, "This money should have been given to the poor." He said, "No. I know there is the poor, but I also know there is God and His agenda." He said, "This thing that this woman has done," He said, "wherever this gospel is preached, her name will be remembered as a memorial unto the Lord." And so every time we give to God and His agenda, it immortalizes our existence. And I believe everyone who is giving, the Lord will not forget your labor of love. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. Lift up His countenance over you and give you peace. Your going out and coming in is blessed. And all the days of your life flourish. In Jesus' precious name. Until the next broadcast, I'm your brother, Oropo Mike.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info@encounterjesusministry.org or info.ejfi.ng@gmail.com. You can also visit our website at www.encounterjesusministry.org.